outline. It's the same as we've had since March 6th. But if you want one, you can have it for the last two lines of the outline. And we're looking at the heavenly New Jerusalem, and we're going to place it in time. We're going to go forward in time today and look at Scripture. When you go forward in time in Scripture, that's called prophecy, or some people like to use the fancy words, that's eschatology. Now, one of the things as a Christian that we should do when we look at prophecy is remember, and this is hard to understand, but we got to remember this, God sees the past, the present, and the future all at the same time, and he can tell them apart. So when we look at prophecy from a Christian point of view, it's simply pre-written history. It's in God's mind, it's just as sure as what happened or is happening today. So we'll do that as we look at the New Jerusalem, and we're going to see some things from Scripture. Before we do that, I want to remind you that when we say things, if you don't see it in the verse, let me know. If you don't want to do it during class, let me know afterwards, because if we don't get it out of the Bible, unless we say we're just speculating, it's not worth even talking about, because we want to get all of our truth from the Bible. Now, before we look to the Word of God, let's look to the God of the Word. We do this to frame our minds so that we'll have them in the correct perspective as we look at the Word. Our Father, we do thank you for your Word. We do appreciate it. We appreciate that that's how you communicate to us. We also appreciate that that's what we're supposed to study. It doesn't just come in our ear at night if we put the Bible under our pillow, but it's something that we have to study and be diligent about. And we thank you for that. Amen. Now, if you turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter, here, remember we spent a lot of time. We had four or five. Let me see if I can do it off the top of my head. We had Romans, the 11th chapter, 26th verse. We had Galatians, the 4th chapter, and about the 10th and 11th verses. We had John, the 14th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verses. We've had the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 22nd through the 25th verses, all which refer to the Jerusalem. Now, in the 21st chapter, the book of Revelation, we here have it called the Holy Jerusalem, and we're going to have another passage where it's called the New Jerusalem. Now, before we say that, there were, in the Old Testament, there were three different temples. There was the original temple of Solomon, then there was reconstructed twice more, and we really don't have the remains. It was destroyed in 70 AD, the one that was during Christ. There will be a future temple during the tribulation, which God doesn't construct. However, during the millennium, there'll be even another one. Now, we're saying all this to say, during the millennium, God is going to construct. God is going to be the architect and the contractor for a earthly New Jerusalem. That's not what we're talking about. That's the one Abraham looked for, eagerly expected. That's the one that all the Old Testament saints looked for in their mind's eye. We're looking at the heavenly, the New Jerusalem pertaining to the heavens. So, and I'm thinking, whenever we see the word Jerusalem in the future, in a future context or in prophecy, we have to figure out, now is that talking about the earthly New Jerusalem or the heavenly New Jerusalem? Now, we had a passage in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We correlate it to the 11th chapter of Romans, and we figured out that when it talks about Zion and it talks about Jerusalem in Old Testament prophecy, Jerusalem then becomes the earthly New Jerusalem, and Zion becomes the heavenly New Jerusalem, because Zion takes on the meaning of where God dwells and reigns from. All review. Now that brings us to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And here, and I'm going to tell you, if you mark in your Bible, the first eight verses in this chapter are in eternity. Now, who remembers to... I won't do that. I'll ask a rhetorical question which nobody wants to answer. Who remembers how we can prove that? Well, we go back to verse 1, and the last three words says, no more sea. And we know that during the millennium there will be water, there will be plants, there will be atmosphere. And so this is an eternal existence of the New Jerusalem, the first 8 verses, after the millennium, after the destruction of this present heaven and earth. And this gives us a clue: in eternity there won't be an atmosphere and there won't be water. Because you don't have water without an atmosphere, you don't have an atmosphere without water. I guess you know that 70 to 80% of the oxygen is produced in the ocean and all that stuff. So it's going to be a different paradigm. Now, verse 9 then brings us to where we're going. And I'm going to do just a tiny review on these two verses, and then we'll get into what this where this is placed in time even more. We'll delineate that even more. Verse 9, chapter 21 of Revelation. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels. Now you have, in your King James, you have the translation, who had. That's wrong. It's not past tense. It's a predicate participle, which means this seventh angel still has the vial full in his hands. Now keep your finger here and go over to the 16th chapter, and we want to look at the 17th verse. This is talking about the seventh vial. When it's poured out, the whole tribulation is gone. The wrath of God is finished. Verse 17 of the 16th chapter, and the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and there came a great voice out of the Holy of Holies up in the third heaven from the throne, saying, that's from the throne room. Here's another of the multiple verses we have that show that there's one compartment in the third heaven, which we've called the throne room. Might be the throne compartment, the throne area, I don't know. But we're just using room for our finite thinking. From the throne, saying, it is complete or is finished. Now, that means that when we go back to the 9th verse of the 21st chapter, this is right near the end of the tribulation, because the tribulation ends with the pouring out of the seventh vial. The seventh vial hasn't been poured out in the 9th verse. Got it? That's very important. Let me say this another way, and we'll even do it pictorially. After the rapture, there's a short period of time. We believe months, but we don't know. It could be years, but I think months, days, where there's a lot of rumors of war and war, and earthquakes, and people get all scared, and then they sign a 7-year peace pact, and that starts the 7-year tribulation. And in the tribulation, make sure we remind ourselves that there's two parts of it. We might need that today. But after the tribulation, there's 75 days that go, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ begins. And that is called the kingdom, or the millennium, and millennium simply means 1,000. Okay, or 1,000 years. So, those are 2 zeros. Looks like a 9 now. So, what we're talking about is this period of time right at the end of the tribulation. Now, I hope you've already internalized that means the church has been gone for 7 years. We ain't down here during this. If you're down here during this, we need to talk about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Or if you already know the gospel, then you need to know that Christians were not appointed to wrath. So the seventh vial, as we just saw, comes right at the end of the tribulation. However, the 21st chapter and the 9th verse tells us that seventh vial has not yet been poured out. I want you to picture a vial as a big bowl. And in these bowls are God's wrath. And then the seventh bowl is poured out, God has no more wrath. It's not a condition or something he wants to demonstrate at all the times. So verse 9. There came unto me one of the 7 angels, having the 7th vial full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride. Now, this is where people get mixed up. when he starts describing this new Jerusalem, he's describing where the bride lives, not the bride. Let me give you an example. He's just pointing to the home of the bride. Over in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we spent 3 months showing you the bride inside of this new Jerusalem. So the bride is, let's do two things in this passage at least. The bride is not the city. The city is not the bride. That's one thing. Now, in the next phrase, and he carried me away to a high mountain and showed me, shows his perspectives from earth, and showed me the great city, the holy or set apart Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. So the bride is not the city, the city is not the bride. If you don't remember that, or if you've got a problem with that, go to Hebrews 12, chapter 22nd through 25th verses. They're two different things, two different entities. But here, in the last part of verse 10, we want to see that the city is not heaven, and heaven's not the city, because it comes out of the third heaven. And remember, we used the example multiple times. If you drive your car out of the garage, provided you have a garage clean enough to park the car, if you park your car in the garage and drive it out of the garage, the car is not the garage. The car comes out of the garage. The New Jerusalem comes out of the third heaven. The New Jerusalem is not the third heaven. So we're seeing this New Jerusalem come down out of the third heaven right at the end of the tribulation. That's our scene. That's our pre-written history that we have here. Now, what I want to do is set up, and one of the things that Peter talks about that Christians are not to do is be uniformitarian. That's in the 2 Peter, the third chapter. You can't just look out here and say, well, this year it rained 40 inches in Oregon. That means every year it rains 40 inches. Next year it might be 20 or 10, and then it might be 60. There's no such thing as uniformitarian. So as this new Jerusalem comes down out from the third heaven, what we're going to do today is look to see what the heavens look like from earth. Now, the reason we're going to do what it looks like from earth, look at verse 10. Where is John in his perspective? Let me give you a clue why this is so. I'm going to give you several reasons why this is important. Verse 10, where's John? On a high mountain. So two things we know from that. One of which is the millennium hasn't started because there won't be mountains in the millennium. Now remember, this is in a vision. Two is he's looking from earth up at the third heaven in his vision. Got it? So that means that this new Jerusalem is going to be it can be seen from earth as it comes out of the third heaven. That's important. Now, what we want to do is look at what's happening in the heavens prior to the new Jerusalem coming out of the third heaven. How come John can see it so easily in his vision? And remember, the vision is just as real as real life, but it's taking place in his mind. So let's go back and let me do a very quick summary. In the first half of the tribulation, you have seven seals. In the second half of the tribulation, you have seven vials and six trumps. The seventh trump begins right at the end of the tribulation and goes through the kingdom up into the great white throne judgment. So what we're going to do is go back in the last half of the tribulation chronologically and see what changes up in the heavens from an earthly perspective. So let's go back to the fourth trump, which obviously happens before the seventh trump, and let's look at the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation. Actually, that's on the wrong side. It's the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, I know I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence, but what we saw in Revelation 21 was the seventh trump. And as we go back to the fourth trump, it seems obvious to me we're going closer to the middle of the tribulation. Remember, the first six trumps occur during the second half of the tribulation. So we're probably, if you had my guess, we're going seventh trump in the 21st chapter, and we go back to the fourth trump, we're probably going about 4 or 5 months back right before the end of the tribulation. Verse 12, 8th chapter of Revelation. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, this takes explain it, it's very easy to do, explain what's happening here. But before we do that, I'd like to look at some other verses that explain it coming to this point. Now, one of which is over in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Did you notice I'm taking an outline to mark up my Bible so I can find it? If you do go back to Matthew, the 25th chapter, we got to put scripture with scripture here. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, it's not the 25th. It's the 24th chapter. Except the days be shortened. Yeah, we'll go to another verse. Let's go back to Isaiah 24. I know where I can get it there. There's one in Matthew where it says, except the days be shortened, the days get shortened for the elect's sake. But let's go back to Isaiah, the 24th chapter, and I want you to see what's going to occur to cause the third of the sun to be darkened. Back in Isaiah 24, and we want to look at verse 19. The earth, this is prophecy, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is unclean, dissolved, or in discord. If my memory serves me correctly, this word discord is a musical term. It means it's interesting. You can go touch one note on the piano, and if you touch the next note is the wrong one, anybody can tell, even I can tell, that there's a sequence of notes that have to occur. I know I astound you with my musical knowledge here, but this word discord means that things are not in the order that they should be. The earth is moved exceedingly. Remember that over in Revelation we saw that the third of the sun is gone, a third of the moon, a third of the stars. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. And I just don't think you could get a better picture, a mind picture, of the earth's orbit around the sun changing than saying it's reeling to and fro like a drunkard. Now what that means, because we're going to need this, what that means is as the earth is circling the sun, the Creator knew that way before Galileo figured it out. When the earth has an elliptical order or orbit around the sun, and that means that it's going to be going in and out. Now, what happens when you go in and out? You get closer to the sun. We're going to see also in Isaiah that it's going to scorch men. It's going to get so hot that men will want to die. So the rotation, we'll get to that in a minute, the orbit around the sun of the earth is going to change. Reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be moved like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Now what I'm describing to you, this is very important, that once, this is where we're going today, once the relationship of the earth to the sun, the moon, these are interdependent, and the stars, once that relationship changes, it's never going back. And the tax on carbon didn't even help. This is going to happen. And once these relationships to the earth occur, They will never be changed. They will never be, they will never, ever be reconstituted the way they are now. Turn to the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we'll see even far, a further explanation of this. It's the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we want to start at about the 18th, let's start at the 19th verse. The sun shall be no more your light by day. Now, what that tells us, let's put these two together. As the sun starts reeling like a drunkard, as the earth starts reeling like a drunkard around the sun, obviously the sun has had an explosion. Now, I'm going to help you with the weather and with modern science. Actually, if you read modern science in terms of climate, most of them will tell you what I'm saying is true, except the ones that will lose their grant. And that's this, or their fellowship or whatever, is that the sunspots and the magnetic field of the sun and the eruptions on the sun have more to do with our weather than any other element. So one of the things they can do is they can predict, like the El Nino and stuff, that's all based on sunspots. Oh, and you thought it was because you drove a car that got 12 miles a gallon and not 20. No. When the Earth starts having problems with its orbit around the sun, it's obviously an indication that the sun has blown up. Now, what we saw in this verse is once it starts blowing up and there's going to be a period of 5 months where it's going to go in and out of these eruptions, it's going to eventually blow and be completely gone. And that's what this verse says. The sun shall no more be the light. Now, that's talking about the earth. So now we already have an indication. We saw where the sun starts having problems, and now it's going to be completely gone. And we'll come back to this verse in a little while. But let's go back to the 13th chapter. No, let's not do that yet. Let's go to the 16th chapter. That's the word of the book of Revelation. The 16th chapter. You got to get these all in order, or it can be a hodgepodge. And I apologize, I stumbled there just for a minute. The 16th chapter book of... Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not going to do it for you today. But the first six trumps and the first six vials line up. In other words, the order changes. In some cases, the vial will come first and then the trump. In some cases, the trump will come first and then the vial. And you don't have a second vial till both the first trump and the first vial have already been consummated. So this fourth vial then, we're not going to do that for you today, fits in perfectly with the fourth trump. The fourth trump, what did it say? That the sun is going to have problems and we're going to come back there again. And then we saw that the earth then is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Verse 8 of the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. The fourth angel poured out his bowl or trump upon the sun. So now we're going to have another description of the sun having problems. And the power was given unto him, to the sun, to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the character of God, which had the authority over these plagues, and they didn't repent and cause him glory. Another verse that proves that the wrath of God doesn't bring men to repentance. So let's put together what we have, and let's go back to the 8th chapter and the 4th trump. So first of all, the sun is going to blow up. Now, we got that from the 4th vial. And if we were to put them in chronological order, let me double check something. If we were to put them in chronological order, we would have the 4th vial before the 4th trump. Let me say it again. The 4th vial indicates that the sun will blow up and have an explosion and get brighter. Now that brings us back to the 4th trump, which is shortly thereafter in the 8th chapter. And the 4th angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon and a third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. Now, this doesn't mean that it's a third eclipse, a partial eclipse. What this is describing is a shorter day. So what we're saying is that the sun blows up, the earth starts spinning faster so that you have a 16-hour day. That's a third less, right? Yeah. 16 is two-thirds of 24. So the sun the sun blows up, the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, changes its orbit. Also, this starts spinning faster. That's its on its axis, that's its rotation. Meaning the days start to 16 days. Now, I can't remember right where it is right now. You have to forgive me. But there is a verse that says that the days will be shortened for the elect's sake. I think it's in Matthew 25. What? 24, 20. I was looking right at it. Okay, let's go there. Man, if you're getting this on a wild goose chase, you wouldn't do that on purpose, would you? 24th chapter of the 22nd. Oh, yeah, thank you. I was right close to that earlier. Okay. Verse 22 of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Except that the days should be shortened. Now, stop. We have multiple places, Book of Daniel, three times, Book of Revelation in one chapter, four times, where it says that the tribulation is going to be, each half of it's going to be 42 months or 3.5 years, time and half a times. Daniel says the whole tribulation is going to be 7 years, and this is toward the end of the tribulation. And there's another place, two places, it says that it's going to be 1,260 or 80 days. So when the time is shortened, it cannot be the number of days. Got it? So if he's going to shorten the days, so that, is this for the unsaved people so they won't get fried? They won't be. I love fried chicken, but I don't think I'll love the smell of the fry here, because we calculate that it's going to be like 140 degrees on Earth. So that's just a guess. I don't have a verse for that. So the days that are shortened in verse 22 of the 24th chapter of Matthew, when we go back to the 12th verse in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, the way he's going to shorten the days is not by the number. Let me just very briefly keep your finger on the 9th chapter of Revelation and turn over, if you will, to the 12th. The 12th chapter. Verse 18, or verse 14, you have time and half a times, which is 3.5 years. Verse 6, you have 1,260 days, which means three, and then you have 42 months in another place. So the number of days cannot be shortened, but the way that God has planned to say, for the elect's sake, so that they don't get burnt to a crisp, is he shortens the duration of the day or the number of hours in the day. So let me say it another way. The number of days aren't shortened, but the amount of exposure to the sun is cut by a third. That's the fourth trump, verse 12, 8th chapter. And the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten. So here you see that after the sun blows up in the fourth vial, the effects on earth, and a third, this is from an earthly perspective of the stars, and a third part of them was darkened. It doesn't say they go out. It says you only see them a third of the time, or a third less of, two-thirds of the original time, a third less. And the day shone not a third part of it. That's our clue. So the rotation or the spin of the earth on its axis increases to a 16-hour day, and from the 22nd verse, thank you, the 24th chapter of Matthew, that's for the elect's sake, so they don't get too toasty. And it'd be and so you see here what is going to occur. Now, let's go back to the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we want to see, because of time here, we're not going to develop this fully today, it looks like. because of time. But in the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we saw this also in the 24th chapter, 60th chapter, in verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. So by the time, what I'm saying here, by the time we get our description over in the 24th or 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, the 9th and 10th verses, by the time we get right at the end of the tribulation, the sun will no longer be seen from earth. And to recap, it's going to blow up, cause all kinds of torment and torture. We're not getting into that. But we saw in a verse that says once it's kaput, it's gone. It's not coming back. And here's the reason. The sun shall no more be the light by day, nor for brightness shall... Well, this... Hey, did God know how the heavens work? If you don't have a sun, you don't have a what? A moon. And the moon... neither shall the moon give her light unto you, but the Lord shall be unto thee everlasting, or for an age, a light, and thy God a glory. Now, from an earthly perspective, according to this verse, after the sun's gone, what is going to provide light for the earth? According to this verse, God. Now, most people take this as figurative. But let's go back to the 21st chapter of this to show you where we'll go next week. The 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And we want to look down in the passage at verse 23. Now, what we're saying here, then we're going to go back to the 9th and 10th verses. Verse 23, the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Remember what Isaiah 60 said. Isaiah in the 60th chapter said that there's once the sun's gone, 24th chapter, it's gone, gone. But now God will provide light. I take that to be not figurative, but actual. Look at verse 23, the first 21st chapter of Revelation. And the city had no need of the sun. Why? Well, by the time we get here, it's gone, right? Neither the moon. Why? Can't reflect what you don't have. To shine in it, the it is the city. For the glory of the God, that's God the Father, did lighten it, the city, and the lamp and the lamb. Watch the play on words here, because I got to be careful with how I pronounce this. The lamb is the lamp thereof. How could this city be called a lamp? Verse 24 is a fulfillment of Isaiah 60, verses 19 and 20. And the nations, now skip the next five words, they're not there in the original. And the nations, that's the Gentiles, shall walk in the light of it. The it is the city. It does, and so when Isaiah says that God will provide light, Jehovah there, if I recall right, it's not direct. It's going to come from what in this verse? Well, we saw in the city is God the Father and God the Son. God the Father provides the light within the city, and God the Son provides a lamp. Where is it a lamp to? In verse 24. For the earth shall walk in the light of it, the city, and the kings of the earth to bring glory and tribute unto it. We won't get into that today. So what we're saying is, back to the chapter 21, verses 9 and 10. In this passage, John goes up to a mountain, which means that the millennium has not been instituted, because there won't be mountains in the millennium, physical mountains, topographical. And he looks up into the heavens and he sees a city coming. How come he sees the city so well? Because there's no other light in the heavens. And this bright city which we're going to get into over the next few weeks, which is called a lamp under the earth later on in the chapter, is coming out of the third heavens. Now, I'm not original to this. Dr. Ironside, back in 1930, 35, before they knew about satellites, called this the Great Candelabra, coming out of the third heaven. A guy by the name of Larkin drew pictures of this coming out of the third heaven, not the third heaven, and circling around the earth, and he pictured it in his art, or in his, in his drawings. So this is not original. This isn't something we made up after the satellites. This is something we get from Scripture. And we're going to be seeing a lot of Scripture. So what we're saying is John in the 9th and 10th verses is looking up into completely black heavens, and he sees this New Jerusalem coming out of it. Now, keep that in mind. Now, another way to picture this is if you ever buy a diamond, better be about how old, at least a good 8 or 9 more years. How many more?
10, 12.
I had to ask Dad. When you go to buy a diamond, I can guarantee you can go. There's 3 diamond stores right on 217. One is Jarrett's. One is, there's several of them. And they will always take black velvet, and they will put the diamond on the black velvet. Why do they do that? Because it makes it look bigger. And when this black sky has this huge lamp, that scripture, come out of it, is going to be very spectacular. Turn to Matthew, and I'll have the right verse this time. Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we want to look at the 30th verse. This is why this is going to be such a spectacular event. And then we'll finish with this, and then we'll develop this farther next week, or further next week. Verse 30, the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now, how do we know that this sign that comes out of the heaven, not the Son of Man, how do we know that that's the earthly New Jerusalem? Does anybody remember? Because we have Romans, the 11th chapter and the 26th verse that says, well, let's turn there. Keep your finger here. This is a repetition of an Old Testament prophecy, Romans, the 11th chapter, and the 26th verse, very quickly. Well, let's do 2 verses. For all of Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Now, if you've been following, I'm not going to prove it today because we did it for 2 months. Zion, over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, is called the heavenly Jerusalem during the millennium, because Zion means where God dwells and rules from. So where does Christ come from? Comes from Zion, the heavenly New Jerusalem. Now back to the 30th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Then shall appear the sign. Doesn't say then shall appear Christ. Not at this point. Now, just as in let's just do this as a prelude to next week because we want to finish. Verse 29 describes that it's a black sky when he comes back. So how would in a black sky, well, let's read verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven. That's from an earthly point of view. So even the stars are gone. That means when the earth starts losing its rotation around the sun, eventually it's not even going to be oriented to the sun, and eventually you won't even be able to see the stars. And fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall the sign of the Son, belonging to the Son of Man, be seen in heaven. That's this bright light coming out of the third heaven, Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10, coming on a black background, this huge light. That's not Christ. Read the rest of the verse. and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Why would the Jews mourn because only saved Jews are left? Well, they're tired of getting scorched, aren't they? They're saying, wait, this toast is getting just a little too far. And they these tribes shall see, and this is they're actually visibly going to see the Son of Man coming upon clouds. And we'll get into this next week. So as the New Jerusalem comes out of the third heaven on a black background, then it's going to circle the earth because all of the tribes will see him, will see that they're all around the earth. And after everyone on earth sees the sign of the Son of Man, then out of the city comes the Son of Man, and he's going to come and put his human feet on Mount Olives. And then those that have been trying to bring in the kingdom are going to be sorry they tried, because only righteousness will rule. So what we've shown you today is, just in recap, back in Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10, it's right at the end of the tribulation. And if you think of the darkest night you've ever known, I know you people that live in the city. In fact, where I live, I'm about 15 miles from a city. I can see from Portland there's a glow, just a general glow of the whole city. There won't even be that. There'll be absolute black up in the sky, and then this huge, humongous light will come. Now, I want to challenge you to, turn to Revelation 21:4 real quick. This is just something to think about during the week as we get into the description of it. Verse 16, and I'm going to give you a little different translation. Verse 16, and the city lieth four square. Now, in your thinking this week, when John's describing this, where is he, and what part of the city is he looking at? And the reason I'm doing this, I look at that sign over there. It says Tigard Four Square Church. So when John is looking up into the third or into the second heaven here, sees this giant light, and he calls it Four Square. What part of this giant city is he looking at? And we'll get into the shape of this city. These are the things. I'll just tell you, I don't think it's a square. I looked on the net of people's ideas of what the New Jerusalem looks like, and most of them have it looking like a square because of this. But where is John looking at? At the bottom of the city. And we'll see that next week. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we appreciate that it's just simply pre-written history, and it's as factual as if it had already happened, and we thank you for that. Amen.